A broadcasting phenomenon was born 25 years ago today.
The hour to which the House arrived. Adjourned. Having arrived, the House will be in order. Prayer will be offered by the Reverend Chaplain.
C-SPAN went on the air in 1979 with this live and unedited broadcast from the House of Representatives. Today, it's one of the most popular channels on cable. C-SPAN's nonprofit mission from the beginning has been to be America's electronic town hall. Brian Lamb founded the organization 25 years ago and still runs it today as president and CEO. Lamb says C-SPAN has achieved a measure of success because it isn't like anything on television.
Even though we're in the journalism business, we're in a different kind of journalism than people who are having to make money. We don't have to make money or deliver ratings to anybody, so that changes everything.
And yet you're successful.
It depends on what you call success. I mean, we are here 25 years later. We're well-funded. We're still doing our mission. You know, we're in the sixth or seventh spot out of a couple hundred networks on cable. So if you judge it that way, we're successful. But in today's world, as you know, people judge success based on whether or not you make a lot of money or whether you have stars and all that, and we don't have any of that.
Haven't interviewed too many starlets lately.
No, but starlets watch.
Yeah.
Because they're politically involved, and periodically they will call. Cher, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, called the morning show. She had been in Washington and was moved to call, didn't announce herself as being Cher, said that she was an entertainer when asked what she did. And finally, our host at the time, Peter Slynn, recognized her voice and said, "Are you Cher?" And she said, "Yes."
Wow. Who knew? You got the Cher demographic.
I know. Cher, and one of my fun things years ago was when Gary Owen called, the radio announcer. "Hi, this is Gary Owen."
Why did you go to the cable industry for this?
You couldn't put it anywhere else. Public television didn't want it. And cable had space. And frankly, after the satellite was up there, they were looking for new ideas. They had home box office, they had Showtime. And we were the first really new kind of thing that came along for cable. CNN and MTV and ESPN, all that came later. And it was because the principal owners of the cable television systems in the country were looking for new ideas. They liked this idea, and that's how we succeeded.
You started with the House. Getting into the Senate was a little more difficult.
The House started March 19, 1979, the Senate June 2, 1986. And the Senate was a reaction to the House. And the guy who changed his mind on it, who was very strongly against it, was a man named Bob Byrd of West Virginia. And I remember the day he called me and said, "I see you've taken a poll in your little newspaper that shows you have 62 people who are either in favor or leaning in favor of television in the Senate. Does your poll show an accurate count?" Which I thought was interesting. And I said, "I don't know. We just called the offices and asked them where their members stand." And he had almost single-handedly had objected, along with Russell Long, to the idea of television in the Senate. And you know how a Senate works, is one person can stop things. Yeah. And he said, "Would you come over and tell me more?" So I went over to his dining room, and we listened for 2.5 hours. And at the end of 2.5 hours, Bob Byrd said, actually, he said at the beginning, "I have changed my mind." And one of the reasons, he said, "I went back to my home state of West Virginia, and somebody introduced me as the Speaker of the House," thinking that because he had seen the white hair on C-SPAN on the floor of the House, that I was the Speaker of the House, and got it confused. And he said, "That was the first thing I realized, that we were losing out."
Both houses of Congress control the cameras.
That is correct, and that's something we've worked hard over the years to try to change and have been unsuccessful.
Has that caused conflicts?
It hasn't caused great conflicts as much as I think it's one of those small things. You saw what happened in the middle of the night over the vote on Medicare on the floor of the House of Representatives when they controlled the cameras. And I noticed that the camera wasn't moving from – it usually moves constantly from side to side. For almost the entire 2 or 3 hours that they had that open, the camera was showing the Democratic side. And that's where people don't get a fair shot.
What about the Supreme Court?
Supreme Court will come on television someday, but probably not certainly not in my professional lifetime. This court that's there now, and they have served together for 10 years, is not the slightest bit interested in television. And it's going to take a new group. Because actually, and I've talked to a bunch of them about this, I think they're missing the boat. If they are the most respected institution among the government's branches here in Washington, they think it's because people have a mystique about them and they do it in some kind of order. I think that they have a duty to show the rest of the American people what they do that's different than the other branches. No oral argument is going to be affected by television. Television would be inobtrusive and I think quite educational, and that's about all it would be is educational.
Has it been difficult remaining nonpartisan?
Not at all. It's something that we pride ourselves on. We have a sign over the door that you can't see unless you work at C-SPAN. It's invisible. It says, if you care who wins, you're in the wrong place. And people do an excellent job of that. I think that's one of the things that's hard in Washington. But if you're here and that's part of your mission, you just do it.
Is there a single programming event over the years that you think fulfills your vision or justifies your idea?
There are many. And the reason I say that is because it's different things to different people. I was thinking NPR was very much involved in with Nina Totenberg in the whole Harry Blackmun files, the 1,600 boxes of files, and she got access to that in the tapes. We were the place that ended up running hours of the 38 hours of oral history that he did. And all through that, I kept thinking, you know, we wouldn't be hearing a lot of this and certainly not seeing any of it if we didn't exist. So I think for me personally, I always am really excited when I hear somebody stand up on their own two feet and give a speech in which they're delivering their own message, and I get to watch it from the start to the end, and that's when I say this is what this is all about.
Brian Lamb is C-SPAN's president and CEO. The story of how C-SPAN inspired a future House Majority Leader is at npr.org.